We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
The Lawrence Holmes Show. I'm Anthony Herron, having the pleasure of sitting alongside Olin Krutz, Bears legend. Been talking some ball, been talking some food, of course, because that's what linemen tend to do.
The best radio show is at break, right?
Yeah, some stuff we probably couldn't get away with saying on the air if that came down to it.
Yes, please don't do that.
Well, who knows? I was going to say you won't get in trouble, but who knows? That stuff tends to roll downhill.
I will, and Shane will.
Well, we all can just blame Shane. That's easy enough. Look at him. But on the hotline right now, let's go out to the phone lines. Do I need to read a sponsor for the phone line while we do that?
Yes. Okay. It's right over there, yep.
All right. So let me see here. Which one is it? I don't know.
The Al Pamani.
Oh, okay. All right. Guests join us on the Al Pamani Ford hotline. All right, Al Pamani Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. And our good friend, Ola's former teammate, my current teammate, over at Fox 32 for Bears Post Game Live and, I don't know, a bunch of other stuff that happens over there, Final Word and this and that, Jim Miller of SiriusXM NFL Radio and former Bears QB on the hotline right now. Mills, what's happening, man?
Anthony, how you doing, buddy? Olin, what's up, pal?
Good Jim, to talk to you. Jim, nothing much, man. It's good to talk to you, too.
We've been talking about, of course, the Bears, and we were just a couple of segments ago talking a bit about the quarterback position and sort of posing the question of, you know, we kind of had a sense for what Chase Daniel could and probably would bring to the table. Quality backup quarterback, but a career backup. So now it seems that the question, Jim, for Matt Nagy and his staff, this organization in general, will be to try and determine, because Mitch isn't going to be 100% anytime in the near future, but putting Tyler Gray back on the practice squad is a sign that they may feel okay about Mitch playing sooner than later. How do you view that balance of a Mitch Trubisky with a banged up non-throwing shoulder versus a fully healthy Chase Daniel?
Yeah, well, I personally think a lot of guys have played with that injury. You know, last year Anthony Miller played with it, and it's his non-throwing shoulder. I'd be more concerned if it was, you know, to his throwing shoulder, because it's just when you have a tear in your labrum like that, and it's already an unnatural motion to, you know, as an overhand thrower, I'd be more concerned. But since it's to his left, he'll put on a harness, and he should be able to play with it. And I personally don't think it should affect him all that much. Certainly, you know, he'll have to be careful how he gets hit. You know, don't get planted into the ground. Things like that. He'll just have to play smart and be conscientious from that standpoint, but I think he'll be able to go.
Hey, Jim, you go into the bye week as a starting quarterback in the NFL like you were, and your offense is struggling, right? What are you doing on your bye week to get some rhythm into this offense? Are you poring over film? Are you taking a look at yourself, what you're doing? Are you taking a look at the way defenses are attacking you and how you can help this offense get into a little bit of a rhythm?
Yeah, I think all those things, Olin. I think, you know, always during the bye week, you have to do a lot of self-scouting, you know, and that's kind of what coach is saying, looking in the mirror. You know, every player, and I used to go back and watch the games previously, hey, I screwed this up, got to do this better. But I think you always do got to go back to the basics. Hey, what do we do well as an offense, or what does the quarterback do well? And those are the things you want to accentuate and build upon. You know, you're always going to have your 8 and 9 hole runs. You're always going to have your 6 and 7 hole runs, your 4 and 5 hole runs, but they've got to find the ones that they execute the best in terms of the technique, guys firing off the football, the check with me package. Are they giving anything away in terms of the formations? You know, can you add more movement into the mix to maybe take a guy, a defender out of the box to create a hole? So I think all those things are going on right now. The one thing I'm kind of confused about, though, is, you know, I understand Adam Shaheen is working into the tight end spot and all those things, but he really didn't even play last week against the Oakland Raiders. And I'm trying to figure out why Bradley Sowell, who's a former tackle, is now a tight end, why he isn't utilized more in the run game. You know, almost like we used to bring in like a 6-0 lineman. I mean, technically, that's what he is. He's just trimmer now.
They've gone to J.P. Holtz, Jim. Mm-hmm. I think on film, Sowell was struggling with the motion and blocking linebackers from the backfield. And so he's more of an inline tight end, right? And then he's not really a pass threat, right? So
right. For run game, I would just line him up as an inline tight end and say fire off the football if that's what he does well. And that's what he does well. So, you know, it just seems like goal line situations and things like that, that's where he could be utilized.
Let me ask you this, Jim. What does Mitch do well?
I think he's extremely good with his legs. You know, I think, when you get him moving on his feet, I think he's extremely accurate on the run. I do think he throws a good football. I think he is very accurate when he sets his feet and sits there and really is in balance when he throws. I think he's a really accurate quarterback. I just think it's a very verbose offense, and the learning curve's going to be, you know, a little bit longer. You know, it's really his second year in this offense, and I know there's guys that show up like Patrick Mahomes and these guys burst on the scene, but really he sat behind Alex Smith the entire year and then, of course, exploded pretty much in the same offense.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just system by system, you know, comparing. It's not exactly comparing apples to apples with the development of one guy versus the other. You made an observation that I thought was pretty interesting the other night as it relates to Tariq Cohen and how he is and perhaps isn't utilized within this offense, and what do you think is the best role, the best way for Tariq Cohen, who's just really finally had his first explosive play of the season the other day in London? What do you feel like is the best utilization of his skills?
Yeah, I think he's more of a third down back. I compare him to Darren Sproles. You know, I think you get him in space, you do the H options with him, the sprint 43s, screen passes, things like that. I do think he's more of a threat than Sproles down the field in terms of his route running. Like the Bears, they've ran him on corner routes and even a post route or even a comeback. I think he's capable of doing. But I see him more as a third down back. I just don't see him as a pound it guy between the tackles where you're running, you know, I write 32 lead. I just don't think that's his forte. And then we know Sproles has been great in the punt return game and the kick return game. And certainly I think Tariq Cohen is exceptional. That 71-yard punt return the other day kind of says it all, what he can do from that standpoint.
You know, Jim, I was looking at it. I was thinking with Tariq, the same thing you just said, you know, go study some Sproles film in San Diego. And I was thinking with him, it should be a little more draw action. Yeah. Remember that 42 draw we used to run where it looks like pass and it just the lineman pass set, it just gives you a little more room in there. And I was thinking that. Now, my question for you is the Bears have always, what's interests me, the way they built the team is they basically have four quarterback coaches, right? They got Nagy, they got Heffrick, they got Ragone, and they got Childress now in the building. Now, what would be the positives and or negatives in having that many guys talking to you about playing quarterback?
Well, you're getting it from all sides. I see what you're saying from that standpoint. But, you know, obviously because Mark's going to have a huge influence on him because he's the offensive coordinator, and obviously Matt Nagy has a huge influence on him. I think that's really the case in point. I think a lot of the messaging and the, you know, when they introduced the plays and all that, initially that was all done by Nagy. So he's getting it firsthand there right from the horse's mouth. And I would think Nagy is still highly involved in what he's done. And I talked to Coach at training camp, and he said, yes, he's further along. His feet are calmer in the pocket. He has a greater understanding of what we're trying to do. But all those other coaches are really just a subset to really the follow-up to the initial messaging and communication of where it's coming from, and that's Coach Nagy. And I think they're all tremendous coaches, but I think, you know, it's everybody learns at a different rate. I really believe that. And plus, too, I think this. People underrate how good Alex Smith is as a quarterback. I know he got beat on out there in San Francisco, but Andy Reid said when he traded for him in Kansas City and Coach Nagy was there, he said, we had no idea. Andy Reid said he had went further into his playbook with Alex Smith than any quarterback he had ever been with. Brett Favre, Donovan McNabb, you name it. He said, we went further and dived heavier into our playbook than we have ever been able to do because Alex could handle so much information, and Patrick Mahomes was right there learning from him. You know, so, and I don't think really when you look at, I'm not making excuses for Trubisky. I mean, but, you know, everybody learns at their own rate. And I don't think Trubisky has really had that opportunity to learn from a guy in the offense that can go take a deep dive like an Alex Smith. Because it's really beneficial as a young quarterback to have that. And I really don't think he's had that. He's had to rely on his coaches to really bring him along. He hasn't really seen it happen in front of his face.
Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller is our guest here on 670 The Score. Got Olin Cruz and Anthony Heron filling in for Lawrence Holmes on the Lawrence Holmes Show. You can find Jim on Twitter at @JimMiller_NFL. He is, of course, on Fox 32 here in Chicago and every day on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Jim, we've had some texters on the text line because we have Olin Cruz here, and he was, of course, one of the best to ever do it at the center position, wanting to get his thoughts on James Daniel, the Bears' current center, former Bears guard, and, you know, high draft pick out of my alma mater, the University of Iowa. You and Olin, you've you know, caressed the inside of Olin's thighs and had him snap footballs to you before. That relationship between center and QB, the exchange that happens there, how does that present a different style of challenge? Because James Daniels is, of course, talented, but it's his first season playing center in the National Football League, and then you still have a quarterback who's in the midst of his learning curve.
Yeah, I think you just get to learn everybody's idiosyncrasies, you know, and, you know, if I know Olin's got a reach block, you know, you just know as part of your job you got to ride the center a little bit more because he's got a tougher assignment. And Olin could probably move as good. I've said this numerous times. I play with Dermoni Dawson. He's every bit as good as Dermoni Dawson and what he could do, not only with the knowledge of the game, but just the athleticism. Because some of those guys, it's rare that you can have a center that can, you know, sometimes even go out and get, you know, get a three technique on a reach block. And Olin was able to do that. Or he'd pop out and pick up a nickel blitzer, and you just don't find centers that can do that. So every center is different. I play with other guys that couldn't do that, like Adam Schreiber down there for the Atlanta Falcons. He was a long snapper too, but he's subbed as a center as well, and he was just more of a sturdier, stout guy. And he wasn't going to get all that movement. So, you know, you didn't have to be conscious of things like that. But for James Daniels, I think he's a pretty athletic guy. I think he comes from a good system in Iowa. And, you know, so far, you know, I think everything's been going good. They just obviously got to clean it up on the offensive line. Because what I've noticed, and Olin could probably touch on this more than me, is just guys getting off, where they call the me-you blocks, where they're calling the me-you, who's getting to the second level to clean it up to get to the backer. And it just seems like there is no movement to get that second level block, and why they've kind of been stalemated on the inside.
Yeah, well said there, Jim. Just getting to the second level, right? Getting up on linebackers and trying to pop that running back past the linebackers a couple times a game at least is what they need to do. Jim, no one's around the team and studies the Chicago Bears more than you. When you take a look at where they are now, and everybody keeps talking about how their offense needs to improve and what they need to self-scout. Since you're around there in preseason, you do the color for the games, you've been watching them this year. What direction do you want to see the offense go in when they come back to face the New Orleans Saints?
Well, it's not going to happen because, personnel, they believe in what they have. You know, I'm more of a traditional guy. I don't believe, you know, I personally would never want to limit myself offensively. They don't have a fullback on the roster, a true fullback. You know, whether we had guys like Kelvin Pritchard or whoever we had, those
Damon
guys.
Shelton, yeah, bro, remember him? He was a monster.
Yeah, 270 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, dual. Know, just run dual all day long.
Yeah, and, you know, I even look at that game when the Raiders scored the touchdown. If you saw the young rookie fullback, Alec Ingold from Wisconsin, he took out both Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan on his lead block. All that was a lead, goal line lead, what we used to call, hey, heavy right, goal line 32 lead.
Yep.
Is what we used to call it. And that fullback took out both of them. And so, you know, I know some teams just don't even have it anymore. But I think if you want true downhill runs, you know, they just don't have the personnel to do it. They can, you know, they can do it with the guys they got. They can do it out of two tight ends or Trey Burton, but he seems hobbled right now. He could sub as a fullback, but he just seems hobbled right now, and that would probably have to be J.P. Holtz's role if they were to put him in that position where they could run downhill, like you said, duo plays, things like that, power plays. I write 36 power. Let's go get it. And that's all the Raiders were doing. That was smash mouth football, and it worked pretty well.
So obviously having days off is going to have a bit of a bitter taste, more so than if the Bears would have come back from London with a win. Jim and Olin, please chime in after Jim does too. Any bye week rituals? Were there things that you normally enjoyed doing when you got that week away from the game? And this one's a little bit earlier than the Bears might might have normally hoped for, but what did you normally like to do on your bye week, Jim?
Really, for me, you know, it's great for a coach to say you just get away from it. For me, I never could. You know, I always, you know, whether it's after a game, things would just always eat at me. And, you know, you like to say, oh, I'm just going to take a few days away from it. And I never could. You're always thinking about something, what you can improve. Hey, let's go get another workout in, you know, that type of stuff, and try to work out footwork and things like that. So even on my bye week, I was pretty much doing something every single day because I never really could get away from it. And I, you know, and that's just me. Some players can, but that's just how I was. And you just kind of go about your business and try to act like when you're out to dinner with your wife, like, oh, I'm not thinking about football, no, but I really am.
It's all about you, sweetie, I swear, right here.
The key is to just look at their nose. Then it looks like you look in their eyes. Yeah. Just hope they don't ask
just
you.
Keep nodding over
just hope they don't ask you, what did I talk about?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
I was the same, Big Ant. I couldn't. I was always worried about, you know, what I did wrong. You know, like, I think that a lot of football players have that problem. Like, you don't worry about the good plays you had. You just worried about, like, you knew exactly when that bad play was coming up on the film, right? So I was always just trying to watch film, get healthy, rest, eat good food, and kind of relax. How about you?
I mean, for me, I would normally try to get back. You know, we don't live near where your family is while you're playing with the certain teams. So if the bye week came, I wouldn't take like a lavish trip anywhere. I'd try to get back, see the folks a little bit, get back here to the Chicago area, maybe go see an Iowa game if it happened to be where Iowa was playing at home on a particular weekend, go do the big man on campus thing for a little bit, but get away, but not too far away because I'd spend the majority of the year kind of in whatever NFL city I happen to be in at that point. For the Bears right now, though, coming off the London trip, health is a big concern. I personally am, and you know, I know Eddie Pinheiro's still been making his kicks. I'm really kind of concerned about him, but the health of this team overall with Akeem Hicks and Bilal Nichols and Eddie Pinheiro and Mitch Trubisky, overall, there's a level of strife that this team, we're seeing them go through early in this season, that they didn't have to go through last year because everything went so well. Things were so clean, so pristine. Everyone was healthy. You had the new coach and the new system, and no one knew how to scout for them. At this point, is the intangible of this squad going to be tested as much, if not more, than the scheme, than the tangible of what they'll do on the field?
Yeah, I think, you know, the adversity that they're going through, they're truly going to be tested, like you said. And the players only know how tough they are. You know, that they can put the blinders on and focus on the task at hand, because nobody's feeling sorry for them. I can guarantee you the Saints aren't feeling sorry for them or any other person on that schedule. So it'll be a true gut check for them, not only individually, but as a team. You know, because at the end of the day, you gotta play together as a team. So he'll hold out your hand to help up your teammate when they need a little pat on the back and a pickup, and be able to help out your team and do everything that you can to fight for one another to finish this season strong.
Jim, really appreciate your time here. Looking forward to talking to you again. Well, I guess not this Sunday night since they're on a bye week, but it'll be soon whenever else that happens again, partner. Thanks for joining us here.
Always good to be with
Thanks,
you guys,
Jim, man.
Yep, you bet. Always good to talk to you, Olin.
That is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller right here on 670 The Score. He's at Fox 32 Chicago. He's on Twitter at @JimMiller_NFL. You can hear him every day on SiriusXM NFL Radio. We'll take a timeout. Come right back here. More football, more fun on the way with Bears legend Olin Krutz. I'm Anthony Herron. This is the Lawrence Holmes Show, and this hour is brought to you by First American Bank, the largest privately held bank in Illinois. We do more for your money. Anthony Herron and Olin Krutz will be right back in a moment here on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, fun times. On 670 Score, Lawrence Holmes Show. Anthony Herron and Olin Krutz in for Lawrence today. And it's been a lot of fun, not only on the air, but in the commercial breaks as well, just talking about some old football memories, breaking down the Bears. Before we get out of here, we'll see if we end up making time because, you know, I've covered the Big Ten pretty closely, and the Fighting Illini are having a few struggles. And, of course, Olin played for Levy Smith. And, you know, as Illinois suffered a couple of losses here in a row. Maybe if we can get around to it, we may talk some Lovie Smith and Illinois football a little bit later. But you know, we did have some texters who were curious about specific thoughts for James Daniels. So we want to hear from Olin on that. But we do have the phone lines open right now. So 312-644-6767. You want to call in and talk to Olin Krutz or Anthony Heron talking Bears. I mean, we can go other directions if you like, but pretty Bears-focused couple of hours that we're in the midst of right here. Text line at 67011 also. But Olin, with James Daniel, you know, we were getting Jim's thoughts on it a moment ago. And for him, as a really young guy, you know, just specifically a young individual already in his second year in the National Football League, first year playing center, as he's trying to pick the offense up. It's one thing, you know, he was in the system last year, but now for him shifting to center, how much does that change the responsibilities that are expected of him last year being a guard as a rookie and now in his second year being a center?
A lot, right? A lot, because you become the traffic cop. You become the guy who sets the protection. You set the blocking scheme on every play. And for a young guy who, I think James is 22,
and he
should be a senior at Iowa, really. His class is still there. The guys he got to college with are still in Iowa. So I think not only is he learning how to play the center position, but he's also learning how to lead the offensive line, how to get them to the line of scrimmage. And not when you play center, you don't ask guys to block people. You tell them. You tell them this is who you got. And really the thing about the offensive line is, even if you point the wrong guy, if we're all doing the wrong thing, sometimes it works out.
So right, as long as everybody's on the same page.
So,
right?
So it goes back to the fact that I'm never
wrong at the same time when you're
fighting. It goes back to I'm never wrong. And if I am, refer back to rule number one. Okay. So I think as a center, Big Ann, and like you know this, you've been in a locker room around centers. You have to have a little bit of personality to you. You got to kind of be out there, you know, ready for the game, ready for the chess match, really. And I think what Jim was really saying was, you're watching a young center and quarterback trying to develop this chess match that they got to get into, and recognizing blitzes and recognizing the fronts you got and some of that uphill battle you're seeing. And a big jump I think they can take after the bye week is these two guys gelling together a little better. These two guys recognizing fronts a little better, because sometimes when you watch the film, you're like, who the hell has that linebacker, right? Mm-hmm. And we saw that immediately against the Green Bay Packers.
That opener, right? You got both guys in the A gap. Who's coming? Are they stemming? Are they going back? And what does that mean for the front and whether or not they're going to end up moving or stemming late as well? And it did seem to wreak havoc on them mentally even more than it did physically when you're just confused at the snap of the ball. And then guys are running free. And there's Mitch on the run trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
And it's a great point, because when you look at the Chicago Bears, the one thing you can be positive about is this. They don't look physically overmatched, right? Tariq Cohen can outrun any defense in this league if you give him a little space. Yeah. Trey Burton can get open. Allen Robinson can get open. I watch a lot of offensive line tape. The Bears are not just floodgates, but I mean, people are not just running through their offensive line. Now, the Raiders really stuff their run. So the Bears got to find a way to get some space out there when they face another team like that where we're not getting any movement. What other scheme can we go to get some yards? But as far as James Daniels, when I look at him, for me, him and Mitch together, that's the number one thing I want to see out of them is getting a blocking scheme there. And then sometimes once or twice a game, Big Ant, like when you play center, like the chess match is the fun part. And once or twice a game, you want to recognize that four strong or four weak. And you want to pick it up and give your quarterback a chance to make a big play out there. So I think he'll grow into that. I think he'll grow into the chess match. People say it's always a chess match. I was watching Peyton Manning's detail on ESPN, the app, ESPN Plus. It's a great show. He was doing Carson Wentz. And he was talking about how it's a chess match between the quarterback and the middle linebacker on what defense they're running and what coverage. And you know this. I mean, this goes on the whole time. I always felt like as a center, you were a part of that.
Yeah.
You were a part of recognizing you can't point this linebacker if that safety's coming down. He's adding to the front. We got to almost go to a ghost player. But I mean, you got to go to that area. You got to know he's coming down and get guys on the right guy. Right? So that's the game I think James is growing into. I'd like to see him get on a second level a little more. Get up on linebackers and block. He's got to do a better job getting off, like Jim talked about, getting off the double team, getting to the linebacker, getting Montgomery and Tariq past the second level. Mike Davis too, right? So in a nutshell, that's kind of my scouting report on James. I think he's still going to be a very good center.
He's a very talented young player for his build, a lot of ground-based power, really mobile. You know, gets leaning a little bit where some of the more experienced interior defensive linemen take advantage of that on occasion, but those things happen. Hub Arcus raised what I thought was an interesting question yesterday about the fact that Cody White, who hadn't really been a center before in college, but he played it for several years with the Bears, and he had been accustomed to making the line calls coming into this season. Then James Daniels moves to center. All right, let's teach him the system. All right, you're the center. You make the line calls. It has come up before where you'll have a guard who just knows the system better than the guy next to him than the center, and you can trust the guard to make the line calls. Could that get sticky, though, in the development of Daniels if you take that responsibility from him and say, all right, Cody, you know it better. Let's just get a confident and competent guy for now to get us through just to make sure everyone's on the same page?
Yeah, simply, my answer to that is this. If you have to do that, you drafted the wrong guy in the second round.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? So, So no, I don't like it. That's just from me. I wouldn't want a guard making a call. The center's in the middle of the line. You can see everything. The left guard has a hard time seeing what's going on with the right tackle. Mm-hmm. I got to communicate with the right tackle. Then you got to get the call back to the left tackle. I don't like it. You know, I think it has to go from inside out. And I think that James can handle it. And I think that's what we're trying to talk about here, right, is just the confidence growing for a young center and being a leader in the building, being a leader of the line, and just taking that all over. And I think he can handle it.
Tony, when we were in commercial break, had an interesting just sort of question observation about the locker room itself. And you were, of course, in some locker rooms where the quarterback position here in the city of Chicago has always been of deep discussion, as it is right now with Mitch Trubisky. From your experience in dealing with your teammates and how the quarterback is viewed and whether or not that's really the final stumbling block between a talented roster and the Super Bowl, at what point, if ever, could you foresee if Mitch doesn't continue to develop where it becomes a bit of a rift where everyone's thinking, all right, it's your fault, QB, that we're not greater than we are?
Yeah, the frustration can obviously grow, right, if you're playing like the Bears had in the first 4 weeks, an elite level of defense. And really – like we were talking about earlier, the frustration grows when you make a comeback like that, even though the Bears gave up 97-yard drive there, the defense did, and you're only 15 yards out of field goal range and your backup quarterback throws an interception, right? Yeah. So frustration grows. Now, my answer to that is simple. It just depends on who you have in your locker room. Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, these kind of guys, Peanut Tillman, right? Alex Brown, Tommy Harris, Adewale Ogunle. I mean, I can go on and on with these guys' names, right? Nathan Vasher, Mike Brown. Listen, yeah. They could care less what we were doing on offense. They were going to dominate. And for them, it was just, let's find a way to win the game. Mm. If the offense is struggling that much, and I'm sure now when they got alone and played cards at Lack's house at night, I'm sure they were saying every bad word about us, right? That's why I wouldn't show up. I didn't want to hear, hey, Olin, you guys suck.
Right. And, it's poker night. Yeah. Y'all going to do
Yeah, you guys enjoy yourself.
We'll skip out on this one.
And the only thing I could say was some games, you're right. Right. You're right. Right. We did suck. Yeah. But it just depends on who you have on your team. Sometimes you never know. Somebody gets frustrated. I remember 1 year Mike Brown said, you know, we suck. We suck right now, and that kind of motivated everybody. So sometimes your locker room, not everything has to be kumbaya all the time, like you know. Sometimes you're not going to like everybody in there. Sometimes there will be a lot of frustrations. And to be honest, what's the last way you want to lose a game? The way they lost to the Raiders.
All right.
You got physically dominant.
You just got pushed around by the opponent on the line of scrimmage. You know, it tests your manhood. It feels personal in that way. It's one thing to be out finessed by someone in a game. Oh, they out schemed us, or we dropped a coverage and it led to a big score or something like that. But we knew what they were doing and we just couldn't stop them because they were just the bigger, more powerful man on that game. It's like even on an individual snap, I tell people, like, there's nothing more personal in football than bull rushing a guy. when you can set that offensive lineman and he's got to dig his heels in, that's where you see it. Even a guy like Khalil Mack, who's not this overpowering, you know, physical specimen, but he's willing to use that power rush, and he's got that in his bag where it forces that offensive tackle over and over again to respect that. He'll get personal with that power rush, and then everything else. It sets up all the rest of the finesse stuff that he does, and it's what makes him such a great player and such a ferocious entity on the defense. It sets up everything off of that. So, yes, when you get pushed around on the football field, there's nothing more personal, more demoralizing, especially for a defense, than that. Man, and, this is fun.
And look, this new – these football players now, they have my respect because this new era of social media, I mean, even high school guys, yeah. People are posting high school linemen getting run over. Right. I mean, you know, somebody did a full breakdown on the Raiders run game on Twitter versus what they did to the Chicago Bears. And gosh, that must eat at you, Big Ant.
It's like, one thing to get it in the film room, yes. But then you got to go home and you got to pick up your phone and you're getting it from just the general public too.
Oh, yeah.
Guys who never strapped
before,
it up
before. You were just on, when you got beat up, you'd be on Monday night and your high school friends would call you and what about that play you got run over? Well, now it's every week. Every week you're out there in the public.
Angle is a different animal today with social media. Ole Cruz and Anthony Heron here in for Lawrence Holmes on the Lawrence Holmes Show. Got some callers on the hotline. We'll take a quick time out, come back. Rich, Chris, Brandon. We'll get to you next right here on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.